This is Apollo Control at 60 hours, 3 minutes. At the present time, we're in the midst of a shift handover in Mission Control. Flight Director Phil Schaffer is coming on to replace Flight Director Pete Frank. The spacecraft communicator on the oncoming shift will be astronaut Hank Hartsfield, replacing astronaut Tony England. And at the present time, Apollo 16 is 32,321 nautical miles from the moon, traveling at a speed of 3,492 feet per second. During this past shift, the major activities for the crew included another activation and checkout of the lunar module at 53 hours, 28 minutes. Duke and Young transferred into the LEM and switched over from command module power for that vehicle to the LEM's own power systems, activated the communications equipment, and completed some general housekeeping activities aboard the LEM. They then returned to the command module, and all three crewmen donned their pressure garment assemblies, less helmets and gloves, and Duke and Young re-entered the lunar module, checking out the procedures that they'll use the day of the lunar landing for suiting up and ingressing the lunar module. Following this exercise, Charlie Duke reported that they'd had some difficulties when John Young attempted to close one of the large restraint zippers on Duke's suit. He said when the zipper, when they tried to get the zipper closed across the small of his back, that Young had to exert quite a bit of force to get the zipper to close. Later, Charlie Duke reported that although he was not concerned that the suit would be comfortable once pressurized, there was some concern that they might have difficulties getting the suit zipped up when he was wearing the liquid-cooled garment. This is normally worn under the suits during the EVAs. It was not worn for the exercise tonight. And Duke suggested that it might be a wise idea to try the suit with the liquid-cooled garment underneath to make sure that it would be possible to close the zipper. He also raised the possibility of lengthening the suit using a series of laces which are built into the suit. We advised him to leave the problem where it was for tonight. We're going to be looking at it both here in the control center and in the engineering support rooms in Building 45, also among our crew systems people, and determine what the next step should be. There seemed to be no undue concern about the problem here. The feeling was that if the suit fit during the time that it was worn for the launch, that it would fit prior to the lunar landing and the EVAs. However, we will be looking into the problem in more detail and coming up with some recommendations for the crew following their rest period. Also on the list of activities during this shift, the crew ran a check of the equipment which will be used in the bistatic radar experiment while in lunar orbit, transmitting S-band and VHF signals, which were received. The VHF signal was received at Stanford, as it will be during the actual experiment in lunar orbit, allowing scientists there to calibrate equipment and to determine the precise frequencies that the spacecraft equipment will be operating on. And there were a number of items from the Skylab food, which were included in the menu for tonight's dinner, The astronauts were evaluating this food, both its packaging and ease of preparation. They were taking motion pictures and still photos of the preparation, and will be providing post-flight detailed reports on how this operation went. John Young made the comment that there were very few casualties and no loss of life following the use of the Skylab food. He did comment that it took, as he put it, a lot longer than they had allowed for. I think the supposition here in the control center was that he was talking more about the documentation procedures, the filming and the still photography. And we had one minor problem in the chlorination of the drinking water supply. This is done in two steps. Chlorine is injected using a hypodermic type syringe. And this device injects the chlorine through a needle and into a diaphragm, which then allows it to be intermixed with the drinking water. This is followed with an injection of buffer. And Ken Mattingly reported some difficulty in injecting the chlorine. And he said when he checked, the ampule, which holds the chlorine, was broken. He also said that when he tried to inject the buffer, that instead of buffer going in, water came out. Tony England, capsule communicator on this shift, recalled having a similar experience pre-launch when he was chlorinating the drinking water in the spacecraft on the launch pad. And we very quickly remedied that situation with a recommendation from England that the nut which holds the ampule into the syringe be firmly up against the syringe to prevent the ampule from separating from the needle and allowing water to come out rather than a buffer to be injected in. Mattingly double-checked his procedure and tried again, and the second time around reported that everything went as planned with no problems. Also on this shift, we crossed this mythical line known as the lunar sphere of influence, at which point we began calculating our spacecraft velocities and altitudes with respect to the lunar module. It's also at this point that theoretically the moon becomes the dominant force acting upon the spacecraft from a gravity point of view, and the spacecraft begins to accelerate towards the moon. At that point, Apollo 16 was 178,673 nautical miles from Earth and 33,821 nautical miles from the moon. That event occurred at 59 hours, 19 minutes, 45 seconds ground elapsed time. At 59 hours, 23 minutes, or a little less than 1 hour ago, actually about 50 minutes ago, we said goodnight to the crew, and we've heard nothing from them since. They have an 8-hour rest period scheduled. During that time, we will take the air-to-ground line down. We'll be recording any conversations, should we have an unscheduled or unexpected conversation with the crew. We'll play that back following receipt, and we'll be giving periodic status reports. At 60 hours, 12 minutes, this is Apollo Control, Houston.